Second week in March, and we're in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett. You know, we missed you last month. I think you were on vacation.
Yes, so I took a vacation last month. So sorry about that, but I just needed to get away.
That's fine. We understand. I hope it was a good one.
It was. We were kind of celebrating the election, a new birth in our family. We got a new grandchild.
Oh, wow.
And so just a lot of different things. Kind of Christmas, all of it together in February. We did it all at once.
Great. Well, we have a few things to catch up on. And even with some things that may have happened, it's good to maybe catch up and just get some updates and see if anything have changed. I just wanted to start, though, to kind of tackle this coronavirus news. Of course, you can't turn your head now without seeing something about it everywhere. And, you know, we talked with Mayor Lynn up in Columbus last week, and we keep saying it's not a panic time, but cities and different areas, schools are doing more of a preparedness. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering your take in terms of here in Terre Haute, if there's any preparedness going on.
Well, you know, the health department set up a website to provide some information to people to do things to help you to keep from getting the flu along those lines. That's primarily what we've been getting from a lot of sources. And the school corporation's kind of been looking at a plan that the school board looked at this week. I guess the bottom line really is, though, you know, the flu kills a lot of people every year in the United States, no matter which flu it is. This one's kind of an unknown because it's a new strain, and really people don't know what the total impact's going to be until we cycle through this. I think the main thing to do, though, is to make sure you don't give people, when you're sick, is to not hand it off. And from the city's perspective, you know, we don't want people coming to work when they've got the flu, and wait till they get themselves, you know, healed up. We want to make sure that we're washing our hands around here. We've got the things that they need, the hand washing materials, whether it's soap or some other, you know, bacteria killing items. We want to make sure we're fully stocked on that and just remind our employees that the flu is going around. The coronavirus is obviously going around. It isn't in Terre Haute as far as I know, but at some point it will be. And what do you do to make sure that you don't help spread it? And I think that's the biggest message we need to make sure we get out.
And I assume that's the same message for those, you think about essential employees, you know, police officers, mm-hmm. fire and so forth. That's
the tough one, you know, because we were talking today and we were going through a few scenarios, like our payroll clerk. If the payroll clerk's not here, nobody else, you know, we've got two people, but if both of them would get sick and they're not able to be here, we got to make sure we process payroll. And so really just thinking through to those things that if we did have a large group of people that are city employees to get sick, what would we do? What is our backup? And some things you have a backup for, some things it's just not possible to have a backup for.
And in some ways, is this maybe a good thing of going through these type of emergency levels?
It is. You know, it makes you think about it. I mean, everybody thinks, okay, the flu season, you know, people get colds, they get the flu, they miss work. But if it really is a significant portion of your population, and in our case, our employee population, we got to make sure we can continue to function. And so that's what we've been focusing on. And just really isn't a whole lot you can do other than be prepared. And so that's what we've tried to focus on.
And in terms of if there was some type of outbreak in Terre Haute, is there some plan?
Well, I think, you know, through the health department, through our emergency management folks, you know, there's been a lot of discussions. It's just, what do you specifically do you do until it happens? So being prepared, knowing that we want to isolate people, we want to be able to let people work from home, those kind of things. If schools need to close, I mean, it could get pretty radical if some of the things happen that we've heard in other communities. So that's what we have to be ready to be able to implement if that happens.
You know, I saw a tweet from an official that says everything we do before pandemic seems alarmist, but then everything we do after seems like then government didn't do enough.
Yeah, that's, you know, the thing.
Can you relate to that?
I've been watching the news every day. I'm watching what other communities are doing. I'm reading all these dispatches, if you will, from state government, federal government, from Anthem, you know, to our local folks. And really, they all say the same thing. Just don't try to keep away from the flu. Get yourself healthy, you know, be healthy overall so maybe it won't affect you. But there's only so much planning you can do ahead of time, because if it doesn't happen, you don't need to implement these things. You just have to be ready. And so you get criticized either way. You're either not doing enough or you're doing too much and you're scaring everybody. So I just think you need to be somewhere in between.
You know, the other big news, the Indiana Gaming Commission investigating Spectacle Entertainment. Now, that was the company that was seeking to open a casino here in Terre Haute. A political consultant pleaded guilty of funneling campaign contributions for an Indianapolis-based gaming company. So you get this far, the referendum's approved, and now, right now, it's just halted, right?
Yes, the Gaming Commission's doing their investigation on these original members of Spectacle Gaming. I mean, it's a little different setup now that it's here in Terre Haute, but it's the same people that were involved in those other entities that operated in Indiana. So they're doing their investigation. How that shakes out, we still don't know. I mean, they're not telling us anything. I wouldn't expect them to. I just know that they're very thorough and they will look under every rock and do everything they need to do to make sure that a clean bill of health comes across this, if that's the way it's going to play out. I am certain it'll get worked out one way or the other. It's just, let's just see what the Gaming Commission does to allow these folks to still be a part of it or to have to step out of it. Whatever the answer is, we just want to get there so we can move forward with the project.
And this is all out of city hands.
Totally out of our hands.
This is a state.
We have nothing to do with any of it. The Gaming Commission is doing their investigation.
What do you say to the critics, though, that saying, you know, bringing a casino to Terre Haute, it brings crime, and then this kind of comes out?
Well, I would hope people are, you know, can look at it objectively and say, first of all, we did all the research about crime. That really doesn't happen. There will be some petty crime and things like that that will pick up just because you're going to have a lot more people in Terre Haute. There will be some things that will increase. I'm not worried about that side of it. We've done 2 or 3 years of due diligence on that. When you look at this piece of it, it's a very unique thing. And so I suppose if this guy wouldn't have pled guilty, nobody would even know about it. But since he did and it was part of it, they have to dig to the bottom of it to make sure there wasn't any corruption or anything else going on along those lines with a political campaign contribution that had nothing to do with Terre Haute. So I know, as I said, they're going to be very thorough and we're going to feel good when they're done. And however this shakes out to get this project done is what we're focused on.
And there's no really timeline, is
nope,
there?
Nope. Yeah. I would hope that maybe in the next couple of months we'll get a resolution to this, but that's just me and wishful thinking.
And if they're denied, there's really, I mean, you go back to the drawing board.
Well, it could be. It could be that the local owner can buy those guys out, get them out of the picture, could go back to the drawing board. I guess that'll be up to the Gaming Commission about what they find and how they want us to proceed, meaning, you know, Greg Gibson, Spectacle Entertainment, those folks, and what we need to do to support them.
I wanted to follow up on the live PD program, you know, with the Terre Haute Police Department. Last time we talked, the NAACP here asked the city to stop saying it exploits residents at their most vulnerable time. You said you were surprised to see that report wasn't something they came to you, but that you were willing to talk to them.
Right.
Did you have a conversation?
We've not had a specific conversation with myself and them, but the police chief went to their recent meeting and they had a great conversation about, you know, their concerns. We shared our side of it. So that has happened. I've personally not been able to do it just because of a couple of issues that have hit me recently with vacation and surgery, but I will connect with them. But he was able to do a lot of that. So I think we're building bridges. We're working on that. We're on a hiatus right now with Live PD. That was already scheduled. We believe they'll be back sometime this summer, but right now our contract goes until October and we're not on TV right now, but we're going to work through that.
As far as you know, everything is still going forward, though,
yes,
with that program.
Yes.
And you said that, you know, the majority of people you spoke to were fine with this program.
It wasn't even close. I mean, it was a significant, probably 20-1 in feedback to me about, people really like the show. You know, once again, I never watched the show before. I've watched it since we've been on there, but for some reason, it's the number one show on cable TV. And so it has a drawing, it has a fan base. And we just want to make sure that Terre Haute does look good in this. And we want to make sure we look good as the Terre Haute Police Department.
I just wanted to ask you, since this was, you know, the NAACP having an issue, a minority group, their voice is not as big as the majority. So does that still make it right?
Well, no, anybody that reaches out to me, it doesn't matter what the numbers are. I'm just letting you know that I got one phone call complaint, one email complaint, and then their letter. And I probably had 60 or 70 emails and phone calls about, don't you cancel that, it's great, we love it, all that kind of stuff. I just weigh those things based on how important it is. I mean, because nobody's going to agree, you're not going to get 100% agreement on anything we do. And so if you get 2 or 3 complaints and they're similar, then you look at those particular complaints. these were just, only one was even specific. The other two were just like, we don't like it, we don't think we should do it. Okay, that's your opinion.
Yeah, but and, you know, but you understand my point of being, from a minority standpoint, you're not ever gonna get a majority.
It's just, if there are a lot of people, they let us know. You know what I mean? Like when we went through this casino thing, we had some pushback on that. It wasn't overwhelming, the positives outweighed the negatives, but we had a lot more pushback for that, if you want to, you know, compare issues. When we do a road project, there'll be a whole bunch of people that are happy, it won't say a word, but there'll be 5 or 10 people that'll call us and complain about it. And so, you know, I have to weigh those things, is all I'm saying. Everybody has the same voice, but we have to make sure that we're doing what's best for the majority.
Something I saw a little bit more recently was a proposed ordinance that would have prevented surface parking downtown. It's something I think every city deals with that we go to. I think this has something to do, though, with the convention center.
It does.
Can you fill us in a little bit more on that?
So the reason why this issue came up is because in our original plan, we were going to build 2 parking garages. And so bids came back, and the second parking garage was just way out of budget. It just was way out of whack by about $3 million. And the reason why is because it can't be a kit-type built standard garage. It's got to be fabricated on site, because it has to be tall enough to let trash trucks and fire trucks and buses and semis get underneath it. It changed the rules of the game a little bit more than what we thought it was gonna have to back a couple of years ago when we first designed it. So we had to come up with an alternative for parking, because we can't build that garage right now. So we're taking parking away from the Hilton Garden Inn, so they have to have equal parking back for us to move forward. So we looked across the street at the School Corporation building. You know, they've had some financial challenges. They're looking to sell their corporate office downtown. We thought, what a way to help them out and solve our problem. And so one of our city council people filed an ordinance, though, to not let us, in essence, would not have let us torn the building down, and made that, there's already 2 parking lots there and a building in between them, to tear the building down and make it all parking. And so last week, the city councilman withdrew that ordinance, and so we're pursuing ways to solve this problem. At the end, somewhere down the road, we would like to build a parking garage. Whether it's on that site or back at the original site at 7th and Cherry, I don't know yet, but our goal would be for this just to be temporary parking for the next few years, until we're in a position where we can either do a public-private partnership or we can do it on our own to build that second garage.
From a little bit of what I know about convention centers, is there going to be enough parking for what you're building as a convention center right now?
We're building a 4-story parking garage, and of course there's 2 other parking garages within a block of that. What I'm worried about is, as things get better and more conventions come, and down the road, if we start having competing events with Hallman Center or the convention center, we may need even more parking. So that's why that'll also give us pause here to get the building built, get it opened, and then kind of determine, have things changed in 2 or 3 years from now as we begin that planning of what are we going to do as the final solution.
How far is that lot from where the convention center is going to go?
Well, it's basically across the street. So the Hilton Garden Inn sits on the corner.
Okay.
So it's less than a half a block away.
So that's why that's so important, that lot.
Yes, it is.
Because that could be,
because their parking is on one side of the building. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to flip it to the other side of the building.
The Tribune Star today reported about the convention center cost up, I believe, about $4 million. Where is that coming from, and who's?
I've not read the paper today, so I'm not sure what they're talking about. Our costs are locked in for the convention center and the parking garage. Our bids are still good for another 30 days, so our costs have not gone up on that. I'm not sure.
I think there was some meeting, was it the Redevelopment Commission looking to add another?
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about now. No, that's the TIF contribution we're making, and we originally were going to make a $3 million contribution, and they bumped it up to $4
million. Okay.
Just we're going to commit another $1 million to the overall project. I see what you're saying.
Okay.
We don't know if costs will be up or not, but that's our cap.
Okay.
So we want to be able to go up to 4 instead of 3. They'd already approved 3, so they bumped it up to 4.
Yeah, $4 million.
Yes. So that gives us a little bit of room to play with, because there may be some things we run into change order wise or something like that, and the city's going to make that commitment to be able to help make that good. So that's not that big of a deal. It's just a formal process we had to take to go from $3 million to $4
million. Okay.
Sorry, I just threw me off for a second.
No, and maybe the headline kind of threw me off too, saying
so
that the convention
we don't know
costs
that our costs
are
for
going
sure
up.
We just know there may be change orders are going to be more. if we want to do something with that corner parking lot, there's some things there we might want to do. We've also talked about doing some other improvements around that area, so it'll allow us to have that flexibility.
I guess before we go, just a quick update on the city budget, where you are. It's March. Isn't this normally the month where you make a move some money to the...
Well, there's a couple things we do. So one is we took our tax anticipation warrant out at the end of February, okay, for this year, which was reduced again this year by $500,000. So we continue to reduce that borrowing. Our financials were completed for the end of December, and so they've been posted on Gateway. They were due March 1st. We did that in plenty of time. So we've completed that. We still got some wrap up to do when the auditors come, which they're scheduled to come in April. So it's all kind of fallen into place here. We did better last year than I thought we would do, a little better. So we exceeded our plan for last year. I'm expecting us to do that again this year. So the auditors will get in here, we'll finalize those numbers sometime in the middle of this year. And we're also starting our budgeting process probably in April or early May. So, boy, I tell you, it's been nonstop, but I couldn't be any more excited about our financial position and much more cash on hand at the end of this year than last year. We exceeded our expectations in several categories, and so I'm very happy with that. And we're really on the right track and couldn't be any more excited to be able to share that information. But as we look forward to continue to eliminate that borrowing, that's our goal, is to eliminate it and build up our own reserves so we don't have to do those kind of things in the future.
Sorry if I missed that. The tax anticipation warrant, did you give a number?
It was $3 million. So it was $3.5 million last year, $3 million.
$3 million. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, great. Yeah. That was all I had. Is there anything else that you'd like to announce or
no,
say?
No, okay. Just it's been busy. Here we are, you know, already 3 months into the year, and boy, the time really goes fast. And it's going to be an exciting year. We have a lot of road projects scheduled, so we'll share that, you know, in future meetings. And just really happy about kind of where we're at here. So, you know.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay.
Yes. You know, think about that. No, that tax anticipation warrant, it was $4 million. We took it down to $3.5 million, but we're going to pay $500,000 back early. So it'll be $3 million that we'll owe at the end of the year. I wanted to clarify that. I wanted to say that.
Okay.
Right.
So
last year it was $4 million.
Okay.
We took it to $3.5 million, but we'll pay off $500,000 off of
when?
That again in July. So we'll only owe $3 million at the end of the year.
At the end. Okay. Yeah. That's okay. Good to know.
So, sorry, yeah, just to be very specific.
Make sure we get that in there.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.